Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and today we have a special privilege to have a guest who has been recognized in our community as a Catholic Man of the Year. So I'm excited to be able to introduce to you a Mr. John Oss. John, welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And the funny thing about introducing John that way is he's a very quiet, unassuming man. I'm sure that you're not used to being introduced as a Catholic Man of the Year just yet beyond what we had at the dinner a few weeks ago.
That's correct.
John, if you'd be so kind as to open us with a brief word of prayer, I'm sure our listening audience would deeply appreciate that.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for bringing us together for some words from me, and thanks to the Lord. We ask that you look upon the entire Orange Catholic community and watch over them as they go through some trying times with some of the different issues that we are faced with just here in Orange County. And if we could just say in Our Father together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And once again, the person that I have in the studio today is John Ost. And John is a businessman in the Orange County area, and he, along with several other men from our area, were nominated to be a Man of the Year through St. Joseph Radio. St. Joseph Radio hosts this awards dinner every year, and it's been doing so in conjunction with the Diocese of Orange. And when St. Joseph Radio went about looking to see who it wanted as its final Man of the Year this year, they settled in on John. And to talk to John, you probably wouldn't be taken in by the idea that somehow he was a person who was outstanding in our community. He doesn't come at you with any kind of a flash, but that's part of, I think, what has really gone into the reasons why they chose him, because John is an unassuming person, but his background is anything but. He's been involved with the housing in Orange, with pro-life movement in Orange, with some of the business things that are going on in Orange, with helping senior centers and the homeless people, and then in spiritual events as well, including Curcio. John has been involved with a lot of those in either large ways or small ways. And John, first of all, before we get started, on behalf of everyone who's listening, thank you for your service. But now we want to kind of mine it a little bit to perhaps learn a little more as to what perhaps motivated you and what might be able to motivate other men to follow in your footsteps, so to speak. Tell us a little bit, John, what's your background? Where did you come into the Catholic Church? Were you born a Catholic?
I'm what you would call a cradle Catholic. I was born a Catholic, and I early on went to church every week with my mother and father and my sister. And I think a lot of that is good because it stuck, but I think my mother had a big influence on my life in that regard. But I also think that coming along the way as an adult, probably the biggest event that really put me in service was going through a Curcio weekend. And I did that back in January of 1988. So I think that's about 31 years ago or 30. Yeah, something like that. 30 years ago. I did the math wrong.
My father-in-law was involved with Curcio, and he was very, very moved by it. I know that many people who are involved with it can be very moved by it. But tell us, please, a little bit, what is Curcio?
Curcio is a so-called weekend retreat that you do for 3 days, starting on a Thursday night and going through Sunday night. And what it really is an adult awareness of why we're here. And the reason why it works so well is because it is a community of Christian people in action. And they are up there serving you and waiting on you and delivering incredible talks during the weekend on different topics. And just participating in that is just one of the most awesome things that I've ever done. And so that really is probably the biggest motivational event in my life for a lot of reasons, but certainly in my Christianity as well.
So the Curcio movement, tell me just a little bit more. Is this for men only? Is it a male and female thing? How does Curcio work? A little more nuts and bolts.
Well, here in Orange County, we have, they're done every quarter for both men and women. And then the Vietnamese do one a year, I believe it is. And the Spanish, I believe, do two a year. And now we're just working with the Filipinos to get a new weekend. The men always go on separate weekends from the women. If they're married or they're couples, we try and pair them in the same weekends if we can, in terms of like this next weekend is, I believe, April 20th. So the men will go on April 20th, that Thursday, and then the women will go on May 4th, 2 weeks later. It's definitely something that if you are a couple, you want to do together. But if you're not a couple, it's not a couple's retreat. It's definitely a movement and not a retreat, but it really ignites your Christianity. And really, like I said, it's a Christian community in action, people spreading the word and making Catholics better Catholics.
What do you do with Curcio?
Well, currently, I'm on the board of Curcio, which they call the Secretariat. And I'm just finishing up my term this year. I've been on the board for 4 years on the Secretariat. And I'm in charge of the, I'm what's called the parish rep coordinator. So we've got 62 parishes in our diocese. And I try and make sure that every one of the parishes has a Curcio rep and that they're familiar with what's going on in Curcio so that they can answer questions and to try and keep each of those parishes alive with Curcio. And some of our parishes are very alive and some of them are not.
Okay, so if someone who's listening out there now maybe has heard the word before but didn't know anything about it, now is interested, the first place they might go then is to talk to the parish and ask who their parish rep is for Curcio.
That'd be finer. They could write this phone number down, 714-639-7990. That's my phone number.
That number again was
714-639-7990. And if you call and ask my office that you're interested in Curcio, we'll make sure that you get hooked up with your parish rep and get an application, and we'll see if it's something that fits with you.
So this is a movement that impacted your life then tremendously. You not only went through the weekend decades ago, but it left such an impression that you wanted to be a part of that movement. But it also was key in helping to motivate you toward several other things. What other things, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail in this particular section we're going to go to in a few minutes. What other things have you been involved with because you were inspired to re-engage through the Curcio movement?
Well, one of the things that Curcio does is it puts together groups of men and groups of women that meet on a continuing basis once a week. And so I have been attending my group for years and years and years. And during those group sessions, we meet on Saturdays at 9 o'clock in the morning. We go through what we call piety study in action. And so we go through what we have done in the last week or two. And we do this. So there's this accountability. And every week when we get to what we have studied, and then we get to what our action is this is where we start identifying what we're going to be working on, whether it's, you know, I want to get involved in birth choice and then how that might work, or I'm, you know, working on, a project with such and such, and then the other men weigh in on it and keep me accountable for what I'm doing.
That sounds fantastic. So you not only were jump-started, so to speak, in your faith but it also gave you almost a sub-community to be involved with, really, for the rest of your life.
It's not a sub-community. It's a community.
It's a community. Okay.
It's a Christian community in action, and it's awesome. I've also worked, I believe, 28 weekends, which means that I volunteer my time to go up there Thursday night through Sunday night and put on the retreat for the candidates. And we usually impact, I'm going to say an average in the English Curcio in Orange County, we probably impact about 80 men and women together each quarter. So that's a pretty substantial amount of people that you're igniting on fire.
Is there a substantial amount of money that it takes to go on these weekends?
There is a fee, and I believe currently it's $175, if I'm not mistaken. The team members even pay to go on these weekends, but we don't turn anybody down, and we have a scholarship program so that if somebody doesn't have the finances, we encourage you to apply, and we have money available to help those that can't afford to pay.
This sounds fantastic. When we come back, I want to ask you a couple more questions about Curcio, but then there's so many other things on the list here of things you've done. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is John Ost, and we'll be right back.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is the Diocesan Man of the Year, John Ost, who was honored at a dinner not long ago, put on jointly by the Diocese of Orange and St. Joseph Radio. And, John, you were involved with a number of different organizations and were nominated, I believe, by the First Friday Friars group. And out of all the people that were nominated, they chose you. And I happened to know some of the people that were part of that. There were a lot of men that had a lot of competition, and there's a lot of very good men out there doing a lot of good things in Orange. And one of the things that I wanted to touch with you on is all these things that are going on out there that other men like you are involved with and other men that might be listening might want to get involved with. We were talking before the break about the Curcio movement and how much that impacted your life. How else did you begin to get involved once you were reignited as a Catholic to engage your faith in your community, perhaps after the Curcio movement?
Well, probably the first project that I actually started, like I said, sharing on, I believe at that time it was Tuesday mornings in a group and trying to get a project going of some sort, was a pretty simple project, but took a lot of time and energy, and that was starting the donut ministry at Holy Family Cathedral. And this was quite some time ago, but it was kind of an annoyance to me that everybody would pack into the parking lot and then rush into church. And then at the end, they would all run out and then honk at each other in the parking lot.
With the grace they got, it is already gone to the parking lot.
Right. The grace that they got, and it's already gone. And so I thought, well, you know, we've got these hundreds of people, and why aren't we all just kind of hanging and talking a little bit? And so I started a donut ministry, and we were selling, like, I don't know, 26 dozen donuts, and we had a couple hundred people out there after Mass. And it was really nice, and it kind of, I think, kind of got the Holy Family community kind of ignited, because Holy Family Cathedral, it has a school, but then there's the parish, and the parishioners that are not involved with the school are not always involved with the church because they don't have kids going to the school.
It is amazing how much a parish that has a school often is involved almost overwhelmingly with the school, not to put it down, but it can be the tail that wags the dog, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. So this was an attempt, and that was probably my first project, a fairly simple project, and a fun project, but it was demanding because we had to be there every Sunday for, you know, four masses, and that kind of cuts into your weekends when you have kids and you're trying to do everything else. Of course, they're selling donuts with you, which is, you know, the way you have to do it. So,
well, if you got kids there, they're selling donuts. It means some are sold and some are part of the experimental section that just has to be done away with somehow.
That's right.
I'm sure. So with Holy Cathedral Parish, you were part of trying to get people to kind of slow down before you all get into the parking lot. Let's have a chance to reflect with each other. After all, we are a community here. So the focus there was to try to just get everyone to relax a little bit. Good idea. But you got involved with other things as well, things that began to go community-wide. What else did you think needed to be done that you could do?
Backing up, even before I started the donut ministry, was getting the first cross up in my office. That was a big deal. But that was a long time ago, and it's pretty easy now. So everybody knows I'm Catholic or Christian, and that's just the way it is. But getting the first cross up in the office was monumental.
Why? What happened with that?
Just exposing the public to who you are and, you know, how they'll take that, and will it cost you some of your business? Will you lose business over it? Because. And so it's that fear of taking the first step.
But the symbol of the cross is a very important symbol. It's been out there for 2,000 years as both a uniter and a divider. It definitely is a way to say, I'm a Christian. Would you like to talk about it? There's an invitation when you put the cross up to do that, isn't there?
Right.
Yeah. You've been involved with other organizations, too. So I'm thinking of Birth Choice, Orange Housing Development, the Orange Catholic Foundation, Orange Rotary. What got you involved with some of those?
Well, the Orange Rotary was selected because I believe that it's a service group that is composed mainly, at least in our community, it's composed mainly of givers and not necessarily takers. Some, and this is not to say anything bad, but I'm on the board of the Chamber of Commerce for the City of Orange. But most of the people that are on the Chamber of Commerce are there to get business out of the meetings. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're all business people. But people in Rotary, we even get fined if we mention our business name. And so
it's a good discipline to have, though, yeah.
So I got involved in that because it's a community of people who are, well, they're from all faiths, but they're trying to give back to their community, whether it's, you know, building projects for the schools or donating money. There's a scholarship fund. I teach part-time up at San Diego Canyon College, and I was in charge of the scholarship fund for that, so selecting the student who would get a scholarship from Rotary, things like that. So that's kind of the story with Rotary. Orange Housing Development Corporation, quite a different story. That was back, but about the same time in 1989, one of the mayors for the City of Orange, Gene Beyer, identified 10 of us in the community and asked us to start a nonprofit, which none of us knew anything about, but we're from all different industries. We had a CPA, an attorney, and et cetera, et cetera. And we formed a board for a nonprofit, and it's called Orange Housing Development Corporation. And the purpose of it was to build affordable housing to try and be in compliance with what the state requires the different cities to do. That corporation, now in retrospect, all these years later, I'm still on the board there. We've built about $450 million worth of affordable housing. We own about 2,600 units.
Say that again. How much value in affordable housing?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $450 million worth of affordable housing.
Wow.
So this affordable housing takes people that are in the 30, 40, 50% of the median incomes for their communities. And, you know, they have to be working. We have families, we have seniors, we have single people. So different projects are set up differently. But so these are people that really cannot afford to live at their level. And the rents are greatly reduced in these developments that we create. and it gives these people a nice place to live. The ones we've been building for, I think, the last 10 years, I mean, we have granite counters in the kitchens, and I mean, it's just awesome, and they're really nice apartments.
So these aren't, quote, poor people housing. This is nice housing that you partner with these people who may not have the income to be able to afford a regular, non-subsidized apartment in their area. So they're empowered to be in partnership with you in this.
I'm not sure that you've characterized it quite right. We own the buildings, and we buy the land, build the buildings, and then we rent them out as apartments, but we rent them out specifically to people with less of the normal median income for their communities. And of course, we have no problems because everyone wants to be in our developments because they're awesome, and people pay attention to the rules so we don't have any skateboarding problems and things like that, because
they don't want to be out of there either.
they don't want to lose the advantage they're getting with the very much less rent that they're paying.
Wow.
And almost all of our projects, with very few exception, we've been very conservative in our development, so everything runs in the black. Really, what has to happen is something has to happen up front, like the city has to give us a piece of land to build on or something, so that, because you can't buy a piece of property, build a building, and rent it out, even at market rent, and make any money.
Right.
And so,
not in Orange.
Not in Orange County.
So this has been a group project then of the local cities and local businessmen in order to create housing for people to have dignity.
That's correct.
We're going to come back in a couple minutes. We're going to talk about a number of different things that have gone on here. But I want to say, wow, 450 million. How many units did you say you'd been able to build in the last several years?
I think it's about 2,600 units that we've built.
So there's 2,600 families, essentially, whether they're single persons or small families, large families, that are empowered to be able to have a dignified place to live on an income that might not be able to afford to have that here. It's a wonderful way to be able to give back.
Yeah. And the majority of them are in Orange and Santa Ana, but we do have developments in Chula Vista, Ontario, all over Southern California.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with John Ost, who is Catholic Man of the Year for the Diocese of Orange and from St. Joseph Radio. We have a number of things to talk about. I really want to get into some of the stuff you've done with Birth Choice. You have a program that you put together that is intriguing to me. When we come back, I want to ask you about that and several other things. So all of you who are listening, you come back as well.
Rosary Academy is Orange County's premier all-girls Catholic high school in Fullerton. At Rosary, young women take center stage in their faith, academics, and activities. With over 220 leadership positions, 100% college attendance, and traditions like Rosary Day and Red and Gold, your daughter will reap benefits beyond her high school years. We invite you and your daughter to experience Rosary at Preview Day on Sunday, April 2nd, starting at 11 a.m. You'll have an opportunity to tour campus, meet faculty and students, see our nationally ranked dance team perform, and more. Visit rosaryacademy.org. That's rosaryacademy.org. Or call 714-879-6302 for more information. That's 714-879-6302. We look forward to seeing you on April 2nd.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. You're listening to John Ost talking today on our program about a number of different things that are going on in the Diocese of Orange, partly because John Ost is our Catholic Man of the Year. He's been involved in several of these things, multiple different ways, sometimes in large ways, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in just empowering. But there's a number of different things that, John, you've been involved with. And I want to thank you, first of all, for being here, for spending some time with us. You had a brief moment in the middle of your very busy schedule, and God allowed us to have that time to be able to plug in here. We were talking about a couple of different things. We started off talking about Curcio. We went into talking about how this manifested in you being involved first at your parish and then to build, $450 million worth of affordable housing in the Diocese of Orange. not you alone, but you being an important part of what led to that. But you've been involved in other things as well. I know, for example, one of the things that intrigued me was what used to be known as Birth Choice, which is a pro-life organization that's designed to help support people who are contemplating the possibility of abortion. And it's now known as Obria. And you got involved with a very special project. Tell us a little bit about what that project is and how you got involved with that.
Well, we were volunteering, doing various things at Birth Choice, which, as you said, is now known as Obria. One of the things, one of my dear friends who's no longer with us, Larry Barone, and another gentleman, Bill Kasdan, and I, we started really looking at the whole thing with these women who are thinking about having an abortion, and they haven't made a decision yet, and what it is that we could actually help in that decision. And we found an organization, and I can't remember the name, but I think it was in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken, and it was a pregnancy clinic, and they had done a lot of research in this same area. And so we hired them to come out and talk to us. And what the statistics were showing, which was absolutely amazing, is that for all the different reasons that a woman might decide to abort their child, you know, whether it's financial, whether it's because they were no longer with the gentleman, whether it was the parents' pressure or whatever the reason might be, and there are a lot of reasons. Statistically, what we found at that time was that 74% of the women were making their decision based solely upon the male input.
Wow.
So whatever the male decided was what was going to happen, 74% of the time. And so even though there's other reasons, financial, career reasons, or whatever they are, they only added up to 26%.
And those are often the reasons that are cited out there by a lot of people with the, it's, don't want to call it propaganda, but a lot of the information that's out there. That's an astounding statistic. Almost three-fourths of the reason, of the reasoning behind an abortion then has to do with how a woman and her pregnancy is received by the man involved.
Right. You know, I believe that pregnancy clinic too was Guys for Life, if I'm not mistaken. And so what we decided to do was start a part of the Birth Choice and kind of add on to it. So we, you know, we got onto their homepage and everything, and there was a little button, you know, it's called the Dad's Project. And we started counseling the men who were the partners, whether they were the husbands or whether they were boyfriends or maybe not even boyfriends, but just the person who they were going to have the baby with. And we started having the women ask the men to come. And it seems like most of the time that was we were doing them were Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights in various locations, Long Beach, Irvine, Mission Viejo. And we would have them bring their partner with them. And we would counsel the men. I mean, we did things like buy him pizza and take him out for beer. I mean, whatever it took, just so we could have a conversation with these gentlemen and then gently try and persuade them into what being a good father is. And hopefully then they would influence the women into making that right decision.
So let me see if I can wrap my head around what you're saying. You would then encounter these women who've already made some sort of an outreach to a pro-life organization, and they've been steered toward you, and you get them to be involved with your program. They invite their significant other in order to have some counseling, some training, some thoughts about why this is a valuable human life and how they can contribute as the dad.
Yeah, Birth Choice had in place a program, more or less. I'm not sure what it was called, but where they had support groups. So they may have a support group, for example, on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock for the women who are pregnant. And we changed that environment so that every other week the women would come 1 week, and then the women would bring their partner the next week. And then we would engage those partners.
Now, you talk about we. Who's the we in the we were engaging those partners? Was that you directly? Was that you empowering other people? Who got involved with this? Who did you get involved with this?
This was a hands-on project, mostly done by Larry Barone, Bill Kasdan. There was another gentleman whose name escapes me, and myself. And no, it was absolutely hands-on.
How did you know these people, these gentlemen you're talking about?
Actually, we met at one of Kathleen Eaton's Birth Choice galas that she had for fundraising.
So essentially, what began long ago as a Curcio accountability program, that every once a week you would meet in order to talk about how you're doing in your walk, but also how are you doing with your project of life. Some of these projects grew out of it, including this one.
That's correct.
So I'm going to go back for just a moment, and I want to link back together again. This was a project that you're actually trying to reach out to other men. So your men reaching out to other men, that's in the context of a crisis. They're just as women who go through often, as we've talked just a moment ago, the crisis can be as if their entire life is now coming to an end. For men, it's a little bit different. They can either walk away or they can put pressure, or not so much pressure as just the opinion, this is not the time, let's kill the child. Although, of course, they wouldn't use the term kill. But nevertheless, that's what the decision ends up being. So you and these four guys, these three guys that were with you, began a project in order to try to reach out. Does it still go on today?
I don't think it's still active today. And the biggest reason is very interesting, is that this was all pre-ultrasound. And Kathleen Eaton, who is the director of the Birth Choice, now Obria, before she actually had medical clinics, and they weren't allowed to use the ultrasounds because she didn't have nurses and things like that, which she now has. The impact of the ultrasound was even more phenomenal than the impact of changing the men's hearts. And so that project, I would say, is in retreat, but still available. But the ultrasound really, really made an impact. When women can hear that heartbeat, it's amazing.
The 3D ultrasounds that have come out as well, which I know is a slightly different thing, but nevertheless, those 3D ultrasounds, you can actually see the child's face. You can see how human they look because, of course, they are. So in this case, we could actually use men to be more involved with Birth Choice, even if it's just to be partners in trying to inspire other men to step up. Would that be a fair thing?
Absolutely.
So if you were looking at who you are today, this goes back to not only your original upbringing, but this Curcio movement. And what's grown out of it has been a lifetime that's been devoted to trying to find other projects to empower the people around you in Orange. I know I'm inspired by that. I'm so glad to hear that you've been able to give back like that. What do you think so far has been the most important thing that you've been able to do of all the things you've been allowed to do?
I would say probably working at Birth Choice, because even saving one life is really important.
I think that's very well said. And this is one of the reasons why I think you were given the title Catholic Man of the Year. We've had Sheila Beingessner on several times, and Sheila has talked about why she goes about choosing, or why she, the panel goes about choosing the people that become Man of the Year. And one of the things that's key is the evocative nature of their life. That it's not just about all the great things on a resume of sorts that's out there, all these wonderful things that a lot of men do. A lot of men do a lot of wonderful things. But it's about doing them in ways that are evocative, that are able to evoke in other people a desire to be like Christ. And we're all in the process trying to struggle with that. How can I be more like Christ? When we go through Lent, that's part of the question. How are we doing? It's a checkup. And the Catholic Man of the Year is held at this time every year, partly for that very reason, in order for men to have the ability to take a quick checkup. Here's a few examples of some men. Here's one good example in John Ost, who is a Catholic man who is doing some wonderful things. When we come back, John, there's a couple more things that I know you've been involved with, the Orange Senior Center and this beginning experience, along with the Subway Challenge. And so when we come back, I'd like to talk about those. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is John Ost, Catholic Man of the Year, and we'll be right back.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico? You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.
Well, everybody, it is Lent again, and that means it's Fish Fridays at Wahoo's Fish Taco with the co-founder, Wing Lam. Wing, what do you have for us this year?
A $9.99 special, get a couple of fish tacos and a nice glass of wine.
And that's every Friday during Lent?
Yes, every Friday at all our locations.
And there's great food all the other times as well. It's Wahoo's Fish Tacos, everybody. 60 locations all over the country. Stop by for Fish Friday during this Lent. For all the information, go to OCCatholic.com.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio. And with me today on this wonderful program is John Ost. And it's not just wonderful because you're here, John, but I thank you for being here. It's been wonderful because we've been talking about some great things that are happening in the Diocese of Orange that you've been involved with. You've been, in many ways, partly responsible for, if not totally responsible for, but also some inspiring thoughts about how men can get involved in their communities, in their churches, in their life in order to bring about a little more humanity to the people around them. So thank you for that, John, and for sharing with us. I know that it can be difficult to share sometimes, but it's important. And that's one of the reasons why Catholic Man of the Year exists in the Diocese of Orange, is to provide these examples to other men so that perhaps the rest of us can say, you know, I can do a little more as well. We've been talking about a number of things. One of the things that's been key has been the Curcio movement and the spirituality that has been realized in you in some very substantive ways, where it's been on your conscience to constantly look again, how am I giving back? You mentioned that part of the movement you did with housing in Orange has raised $450 million worth of housing for people who otherwise would be priced out of range in the Orange County area. You've talked about some things that happened in Birth Choice that probably saved the lives of babies, and that, of course, is a wonderful thing. You've also been involved in a couple of other different things that I want to make sure we've touched on, because some of them are very interesting. I think the easiest one to start with is probably the Orange Senior Center. You've been involved with that group. What's that about?
The Orange Senior Center is a center in Orange where they serve throughout the day. Probably, last estimate I heard was about 300 seniors a day. So they touch their lives in one way or another, of which they serve about 100 lunches per day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And so when I got involved in it, one of my friends in the community, Gary Remblin, who is an insurance agent downtown Orange, he and I were in a group with the director, Tom Maldonado, of the Senior Center. And Tom came into this one meeting one morning and was telling us that they had cut his funding by 20%, which meant that he was basically going to have to not feed about 100 seniors one day a week, and he was trying to decide what day of the week it was.
Which day they'd go hungry.
Which day they'd go hungry, better way to put it. And so Gary and I got pretty upset about that, and so we put together an ad hoc committee by ourselves and invited the City of Orange, the Tom Maldonado from the center, and we invited, we knew the center had a restaurant facility in there, and so, you know, if we could somehow activate it, make it work, I don't even know, because I'm not a restaurant owner, how that would work, and maybe where we could get the food, like from Second Harvest or something of the sort, and make it work. So I invited Steve, who owns the Citrus Grill in downtown Orange, and Gary invited Mike Lacrosse, who owns the Catella Grill in Orange. And so the six of us were sitting there, and we're kind of going through this, and finally, after maybe only 15 minutes, Steve from Citrus City Grill just got so upset about these seniors going hungry that he stood up and said, this is not going to happen on my watch. So I'm going to feed him every Wednesday for the next 6 months while we can figure out what to take, you know, how to take care of this. And then Mike said that he would feed him every other Wednesday. And so that kind of put the Band-Aid on it. And then we started a group called SOS, which is Save Our Seniors, and no one ever went hungry. And so that also morphed into Mike Lacarose working with the County of Orange. And now he's got a huge food recovery program going on called OC Waste Not, and the County of Orange is very involved in it as well.
So let me get this straight. There was a funding cut to the Orange Senior Center that was going to result in their Meals on Wheels program, reducing the number of times they could provide food by one day a week. So you had a whole bunch of seniors that were going to go hungry. And a bunch of business leaders, some of them restaurant owners in Orange County, got together and said, this isn't going to happen. And they at least put a Band-Aid on it for 6 months while buying time, as well as buying meals, in order to work out the rest of the situation. So now the problem's been solved.
That's correct.
Wow. Talk about inspiring. And this is some one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here. This was a problem that just needed to have some people that had expertise, as well as some resources to be able to get involved. And then the partnership now, it sounds like it's not just the businesses, it's also the county, but working with the resources that are out there so that we don't waste food, we collect it, and then it can be distributed and used for either Meals on Wheels or other organizations. Is that correct?
That is correct. And if you know any restaurant owners out there, have them get involved with the OC Waste Not program that Mike Lacarose has going, because it is really awesome. We even have 500 Yellow Cab trips a month being donated by Yellow Cab to pick up food from restaurants. And restaurant owners have a tendency to be very shy of this because they think they have some liability problems. But there is a law out there called the Good Samaritan Law that protects these restaurant owners. And so, you know, if you know any owners or if you patronize a restaurant, make sure that they get involved with the OC Waste Not program.
Shifting gears quite dramatically, actually, the beginning experience, that's a whole different thing that you got involved with. What's that about?
Beginning experience is also a weekend retreat. It's a two-day retreat, and it was very viable and active in both Los Angeles and San Diego, but not so much in, there wasn't one in Orange County. And what beginning experience is for is it's a support system for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. And that could be a widow, it could be a divorcee, it could be a sibling, it could be the loss of a child, it could be any sort of loss of a loved one. And so I got involved in that, trying to help facilitate getting the program started in Orange, which was headed by Michelle Stout. And again, my friend Larry Barone, they were really the instruments behind it. But I was there very supportive and trying to help out the whole time.
Now, the reason why I wanted to kind of juxtapose those two, the Orange County Senior Center as well as the beginning experience, is this is a wide spectrum of things that you've been involved with. But the theme I'm hearing, or the pattern I'm hearing, is that you see a need and you look to see how can you help facilitate a solution. You're not always the one that does the solution directly, though sometimes you've been. You've talked about how you were involved, for example, in Birth Choice directly as part of that. But it sounds inspiring to me that if there's a message about your life out there that I think all the people who are listening could really benefit from, it's to take the lesson that, look, we can all do something. We've got a number of things that are out there that are going on, and there are certain ways, perhaps just practical ways. I know on a very, what sounds like a small way, but an intimate way, you're involved with something called the Subway Challenge. What's the Subway Challenge?
The Subway Challenge is something that I started, and that is this, and I challenge everyone, all the listeners right now. We buy, you know, like maybe $300 worth of Subway cards. You can buy them online, and we buy $5 cards, and then I put them in my vehicles, and when I come up to that off-ramp on the freeway, and the gentleman or the woman is there with their sign that says they're hungry, I roll down my window, I give them a Subway card, I tell them it's good for a foot long, this allows them not only the ability to have a halfway decent dinner that day, but also that they can use the facilities at Subway when they go in, maybe wash up their hands and their face or something.
They're a paying customer now.
They're a paying customer. And I just always try and encourage people to do that. You can, like I said, you can buy them online. I can tell you this from experience. There are a lot of Subway stores in Orange County that I've been to, and I go in and try and buy like $100 worth, and it really confuses them and kind of messes up their lines. So you're better off trying to buy them online.
Do it online. But what's wonderful about it is it's an example of something that everyone really could do in a very simple way to make a difference. John, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, for the witness that you are of Jesus Christ and of his church and of the impact that we all can have if we see a need to just try to fulfill that need. John, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer for our listening audience, I think we'd all appreciate that as we end today.
I just want to say real quick, too, just thanks. Thank you for all the work that all the other men did, the other nominees. There were 16 of them, and they're just awesome men.
They are.
I think we'll just maybe close with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Mary,
Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Paul the Apostle,
pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today has been John Ost, who is our 2017 Diocesan Man of the Year. And John, it's been a privilege having you here, and it's been a joy talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And for all of our listening audience, I do hope that it's been inspiring as we come to the end of Lent, that the lesson of how can I get involved, the answer is somehow.
Put yourself in service.
You can be. So I look forward to seeing you all again next week. May God richly bless you in all ways.
Again, everybody, it is Lent here on Immaculate Heart Radio and throughout the world. With us is Wahoo's Fish Taco co-founder, Wing Lam. I understand you have another special for everybody out there this year.
Yes. During Lent, we're going to offer two fish tacos and a glass of wine for $9.99.
Will you come into the store and serve it for them?
Yes, I'll be bussing and serving you at all the locations.
And there's 60 of them, so don't miss out. It's Fish Fridays during Lent at Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you.